title this morning I want to share with you. And we're calling our teaching today, Why We Don't Let Go. Why We Don't Let Go. The fall of Adam, as we know, as scriptures tell us, that he became independent of God and that personal relationship with the Lord. We know from Genesis that the moment he fell, Adam and Eve fell, they hid from God in the garden. They had become aware of a power within them that they had not known before. And it was a power where they decided and made a decision that they would hide from God. They had not experienced anything of that before. They were 24/7 in relationship with God, commune with God. God was around them there in that perfect, undefiled relationship. And we know immediately when they listened to the enemy and partook of the tree of knowledge, something happened. They had failed the test where God was looking into their lives that they would be obedient. They could share and have everything except that one thing. And God was testing them. Why does God test us? It's quite simple. Because God didn't create robots. Unlike we've got today in technology and AI. We're living in robotic age. They're all excited about robots now that are being created. God isn't in any of that. He has put within us a free will. And we can choose. Sadly, without Christ, the only choice that you have is to choose which way to sin. But when God meets with us, he turns us completely around and inside out. It's radical. And I use that word. Because you are not the same. And God won't let you be the same. God won't let you have peace until you walk with him in fellowship and in covenant. And thank God he doesn't. We all try and do it our own way and do our own thing, don't we? But he doesn't give up on us. The same as he didn't give up on Adam and Eve. And he called out to them in the evening. Where are you? He, of course, knew what they were doing. But he waited for a response. And the tragic thing that had happened was the enemy's oppression had entered them. Fear. You see, Satan fears God. All his demonic forces fear God. They know their destiny. They know where they're going. But God covered them. You see, they tried to cover themselves. What had happened was, at that point, they had become in control. We know that because they tried to sow fig leaves, which is quite useless, because it was a living leaf, a living plant, and it was now going to eventually die and wither up. So we see from the scriptures that God, the first animal, was slayed, and the skins covered their nakedness. They knew nothing of that. They hadn't an idea. They were suddenly plunged into new emotions, feelings, all those things that we today are subject to. They knew none of that before. They had suddenly become in control of themselves, and they were going to start to hold on to things which God never intended us to do. God never intended us to be in control of ourselves. But it was a type of control, if we can call that word, that was shared. It is shared with God. See, God doesn't control us, but he is ultimately in control, and thank God that he is. Whereas now in the fall, we like to be in control. And that is what God is working with you and I, to let go. It's to let go. And the problem is, because of fear and unbelief, we believe that we can be in control of our destiny and our future. And we can't. It is in God's almighty hands. That is the irony of it all. He has a destiny, a plan, a pathway for each of us. And it all leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he does, because we're all different. We've all come from different backgrounds, different education, different family life, environment, and so forth. And yet here we find that God saves us and he brings us together as his family. God loves his body. He is jealous over his body and his people. And that is why he brings us to such meetings like this today. Where the body of Christ is, God provides for that. And his provision, as we know, is ministry. His provision is that each of us are a gift set into the body of Christ. Not to be spectators, to be entertained, but to function as the Spirit leads. We know that he has set the fivefold ministry, Ephesians 4 tells us, of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher, for the maturing, perfecting of the saints, for their ministry, their function. That is being restored. In his restoration, he's bringing us back, not under a man or a denomination or an organization. He's bringing us back under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the blood of the Lamb. Yes. That is what he's restoring in these last days through the power of his Spirit. He's restoring so that you go out and make disciples. It's not the minister that should make disciples always. It is the church that goes out. And as you move alongside, it's often the practical ways. It's not so much by what we say, it's how we act. It's how we come over that influences that will bring true disciples into the body of Christ. And that can be in numerous ways. It can be where you see somebody struggling in the street, or some lady who's struggling with two bags of shopping and, you know, she's got a bad back. You come alongside. Can I help you? Let me take one of them. Or give them to me. Where do you live? or whatever, or I'll help you to the car, or whatever it is. That is what it means to be a disciple. Jesus is in the practical, everyday life and living. That is where he's to be found. That is where he dwells, in the towns. He's amongst those who are suffering, those who are rejected in society, and many are. Society, not just this country, but the whole world, is very prejudiced. We judge a book by its cover, but we can't be bothered to read it. You see? But that is where God is to be found. And that is what the Holy Spirit is doing with us. And when we settle on that, then he empowers us to do that. We are believing that God is restoring to the body of Christ, where disciples go out and they will also lay hands upon the sick and they will recover. And they will lay hands and cast out demons. That's what the Word of God says. It isn't just the minister. It isn't just the evangelist where everybody's sweeping to get healed or delivered. The body of Christ needs to move on beyond that, where the whole body functions. That is why the early church, Pentecost, was known for turning the world upside down, because they made disciples. And God added to the church such as should be saved. Note, it's God adding to the church. Because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." You know when the great shepherd speaks. You know. Because it speaks into your heart.
Amen.
It's right. Mm. It makes sense. It's a revelation to you that flesh and blood cannot give. So why don't we let go? What is it that still causes us to hold on? To hold on to those things that we felt secure by? Or we know that aren't secure, and yet we find ourselves still holding on. Well, God knows that. And as we allow the Word of God to take hold of our lives, as we embrace these promises, and there are myriads of them in the Scriptures, it not only becomes a comfort to us, but it enables us to start to let go. And we, all of us, in our areas of life where he's delivering us, he's challenging us to let go. I know some of you have heard this story, but I am going to say this because I think it's so applicable to this. There's a climber, a guy, who gets into difficulty and he finds himself hanging on to like a sort of branch that's sticking out of the cliff. And there's a sheer drop there and he's calling out, "Help, help, is anybody there? Help, help, is anybody there?" And a voice speaks over from the cliff, "What is wrong?" "Well, I'm clinging on for my dear life. I'm holding on to this branch that's sticking out that's going to break any second." And then the voice says to him, "Let go." And there's a pause. And he doesn't say anything. And the voice says again, "Let go." And then he says to him, "Is anybody else up there?" It's what we do. God tells us to let go in situations that you would never do in a million years. You're out of your mind. Mm. And yet, in those situations, that is where God tells us to let go and he will take over. And we're all of us struggling in certain areas. And don't say you're not, because you are. Because if you're not, then you're ready for the rapture. But all the while we're still here, and we're gathering here today, there are areas we are to let go and let God be sovereign and let him take over. Because it's going to be deliverance to your mind, your heart, your circumstances, and above all, your relationship with God. He has provided everything through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's an empowerment in your life. If you've not received the baptism of the Spirit, it is vital. Because he has come as the baptizer to take over in the witnesses of our life. And we have many. We have many. And he empowers us. You see, your life has been purchased. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You are his possession. We are, as the scriptures tell us, his peculiar treasure. You have been brought with a price that we'll never ever understand or begin to comprehend. But you were purchased through Christ, through the blood of the Lamb, as he hung on Calvary. And in that purchase, he knows human nature too well. That is why he came in the likeness of human flesh. He had to experience all that we go through. Yet he remained perfect and sinless when he went to the cross. That is a miracle. But he did. And so he identifies with our weaknesses. He identifies with us. He knows you better than you know yourself. And we all think we know ourselves until we come unstuck or till we fall flat on our face and we realise then, well, I don't know myself as well as I thought I did. But there's one that does. And so in this life, he has kept us. So if he's going to keep us in this world, he's got to provide for that. And he's going to baptize you in the Spirit, which is a seal. And that seal, the Bible shows us, is like a stamp on you, sold. You're not for sale. You can't be bought. It's like if you go to a shop and you want to buy something, and they don't do it so much now, but they used to in my days. You could put a reserve on it, and you're going to come back and pay for it later. So when you go to the shop, you look at things and think, oh, I'd have liked that, but can't have it. It's reserved, it's sold. That's exactly what God has done with you through the baptism of the Spirit. Meaning that the enemy cannot destroy you. That is God's provision. That is God's protection. He may allow the enemy to buffet you for a season, but he's going to work that together for good, for his glory. Hallelujah. And very often, when the enemy's had a go at us for a season, we're then ready to let go. Because I don't want to go down that road anymore. And we've all of us have gone through experiences, or we have been chastened by the Lord, or we've gone there where we're just saying, no way am I going back there anymore. No way do I want to touch that. See, God's done that work. You see? He's changed you in your mind, in your thinking, your heart. Only God can do that. Psychiatrists, psychologists can't do that. They can only go so far. But only God can change the heart of man. Only God can put those godly affections within us. To follow him, to pray, to read his word, to gather together, like meetings today. They all think we're a bunch of idiots out in the world. That's how they see us. But you know what? I found many of them, deep down in their hearts, they actually envy.
Yes.
They know there's something. But their pride won't let them. See? They know. And so, God is wanting us to let go. You can let go. And I'm not going to say that after a message today that you've heard, we get all worked up and all excited. Praise God, I'm delivered now, I'm going to let go. Until your first trial comes along. And then you realise, hang on, I'm not letting go, am I? And do you know what so often holds on to that is fear and unbelief. And that is what the Holy Spirit is removing in our lives. Is that fear and unbelief. Because it is tormenting in nature. It is irrational in nature. And we are seeing a world out there today that's falling further and further into confusion and fear. It's not just this country and with Brexit, it's global. And we see what fear does. Let's bring something up that we're all familiar. And a lot of you guys, you live in London, so you know what I'm going to talking about now. But one of the things that we see what fear is doing is this plague, particularly in London, where the youth are carrying knives. And when you talk with them, or whatever it is, what comes out every time? Fear, I'm afraid. It's self-defense. It's my way of defending myself and so forth. Fear. And not only is it fearful, but they're tormented by this as well. They're held by this. These are strong demonic forces. We are seeing now in the last days, and the scriptures show us that there will be a release of demonic activity taking place. You don't need a PhD to discern that.
No.
It's happening. And violence will get worse. As we see the falling away, we are seeing heathenism, paganism now, like we have never seen before. The only understanding that a lot have of who Jesus is, they hear him when they hear him blasphemed and sworn. We know it's always that name you hear, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus or Jesus Christ. You never hear any other name, do you? You don't hear Lucifer or Satan, do you? No, no, no. It's always that name.
Or Muhammad.
Or Muhammad, yes. Yes, absolutely. No, they're demonic forces. And so God knows we're in the last days. He knows there is the falling away. So he is going to provide for that. As we won't be here. I wouldn't be here if God doesn't provide. And his provision is on the basis, let go. Now, I get to the crux of it all. We let go because you cannot walk with God in his providential care. You cannot walk with God because he is sovereign. We walk with him in relationship. The redemptive work that he's done for us at Calvary. But he is sovereign where your faith, your healing, your deliverance is concerned. Because you can't do that. You can't heal yourself. You can't make yourself believe. The only way you can believe, you can be healed, you can be touched by God is let him be sovereign and let go. And he will prove himself. All of them in the scriptures, in the gospel, that received healing or whatever it was, if you look at it and study, it's on the basis of letting go. And he knew when they let go because they hadn't had faith to believe, to receive their healing. He challenged them, have you faith? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And so on. It is on the basis of believing. And he said all it takes is a mustard seed of faith. So he's being merciful there, is he not? But it's always letting go. And a lot of letting go is simply our preconceived ideas. That we've got a different mindset. Or we're looking to the circumstances. Well, the circumstances look ridiculous. Well, circumstances are always against the Christian. There's nothing new about that. Every step of faith, you will have an obstacle in front of you. And they're called mountains. But the Bible tells us that Jesus has overcome those mountains. And how you overcome them is a miracle. How you come through those deep waters is a miracle. And there are many in this room here who know exactly what I'm talking about.
Amen.
You can't work it out how you came through, but you did. And how God preserved and he kept you. You didn't go under. It looked as though you nearly did, but you didn't. You see, that's the point. God has to prove himself. He has to show himself to us. That's the tragedy of the fall. With Adam and Eve, he had to reveal himself as the one that can cover their sin, their rebellion. And he's still the same. He's going to reveal himself. And he will show that he is greater than our circumstances. Whatever we're going through, whatever we're feeling, whatever's being said about us, or whatever's going on in the marriage, at home, with the children, you name it, the lot. He reveals himself in that right time and way for the order and purpose to let go so that he can be God. You see, we let go because God isn't going to share his glory with anyone else. He is jealous over his glory, over his name. And he's going to reveal himself what he has done in your life and my life. And the only way that is achieved is to let go. And you will be challenged to let go in situations where you will say, well, this is crazy if I let go. The whole thing's going to fall apart. But you know what? It doesn't. Who tells you it's all going to fall apart? It's the enemy. The enemy has a way of blowing things out of proportion. And he does it through fear. He does it through confusion. How often have we experienced something and the enemy's pounding in our minds, blowing it all out of proportion, and when you actually do it or you go through it, you think, what was all the fuss about? Who was doing all of that? The enemy. It's never as bad as you think. And even when God chastens us, and he does because he loves us, that's what a father does, it's never as bad as you think. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You walk together yoked with him. That's what you do. So that when you go through that trial, he's going through that with you. When you're hurting and suffering, he is experiencing that. When you're battling with those doubts and unbelief, he's going through that. That is why he's the great intercessor. Seated now at the right hand of the Father. He could have taken any position he wanted. He chose to take that for you and me. Even the work he did at Calvary, restoring us back to the Father, he didn't even end there. He decided to be that high priest, which he's always been, and there to be seated at the right hand of the Father, to intercede, to supplicate for you and for me. And continues to do it. All of which to let go. Let go in your trial. Let go in what you're facing at this present time. God will not let you fall. His hands will take over. And those hands are the same hands when Jesus walked the earth, when he embraced, when he loved, when he laid hands on them and they recovered, or he cast out those demons. They are still the same hands. Those hands today are hands that bear the marks of where the nails went in. And that will be a reminder to us through eternity what he did for us. He's chosen that role. He still serves. He's serving right now. And that's why we serve one another. That's why we love and embrace one another with all our weaknesses, whatever it is we're going through. And that's why we pray one for another, so that we can come through. That's why we pray for our sister, that her faith will fail not in that trial. And so it goes on. They are the prayers and supplications that Jesus is praying. And when you walk close with him, you become attuned to what he's praying and wants you to pray, you see. And he's doing it. But we get in the way. And that is the big problem. We can be our own worst enemy. I have. I've at times been my own worst enemy. I blame the devil. Yes, the devil this, devil that and everything. And then the Lord impresses to me, no, yes, he does buff it. But it's you, you're the problem. Praise God. When you see it, you've got a revelation. You've got the opportunity to let go. And you're not going to fall. It isn't going to all collapse around you. I know I've said this before, so bear with me, those that have heard this. But this come to me. One of the visions, impressions that God gave to me years back with regard to the teaching of the deeper life. He revealed to me a puppet. And I saw this puppet. And the strings were attached to this puppet. And of course this puppet could only move as the strings were moved, so the arms would raise and walk and everything. And I saw this. And then I saw a pair of scissors. And I saw the first string cut. And then I saw the next string cut. And then I saw the feet where the strings were operating the feet, suddenly there was no strings attached. So the legs began to move. And it was like this puppet was beginning to move. It was free. It was starting to get free. There was a movement with the legs that was not before, because they were operated by the strings, by the controller. Then the next, see, the arms cut. Then on the shoulders, cut. On the back, it's cut. And the final one, and I looked, I thought, right, well, the last one that's attached to the head, that puppet's going to collapse to the floor. And as the scissors cut, I then saw this puppet leap up and worship and praise God. I'm free. I'm set free. What was happening there? A letting go. It is vital that you let go, because then Satan cannot get in and try and control you any longer. If the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed, the Word of God says. You were saved to be free in Christ. And the enemy hates that. And that is why scripture tells us he goes around like a roaring lion. But of course, you see, all he can do is roar. He cannot devour. He cannot bite. But we're told that the roar of a lion is one of the biggest sounds in the animal kingdom, can be heard up to 5 miles away. But that's all he can do. He just makes a big noise. And he'll try and work fear with that. But you see, you have the love of God within you. And that love that's joined you to him is going to cast out that fear. And in time, you begin to learn the enemy's tricks. You begin to see what he gets up to, because there's nothing new with what Satan does. As it says in the scriptures, there's nothing new under the sun. And you begin to find his ways. And you think, no, I'm not going to take this anymore. No, I'm not going to react anymore. You're learning. But you can only learn, you can only get that when you let go. You're struggling in the faith? Let go. Are you finding praying to God difficult? Let go. Whatever you're going through, and we're all going through different experiences, you can let go. And then he takes over. You see, the good news of the gospel is that he has come to take over in your weakness. We're weak. We're ineffectual. We'll run a mile. We'll compromise. We'll do all of those sorts of things. We'll do anything to save having to do it God's way. But you see, when we let go and we humble ourselves before him and we ask him to do this, you see, you're not going to let go in yourself. Don't try and let go in your own strength, because you won't do it. You've already failed. But when you say, Father, I've heard this teaching today. I'm holding on to an awful lot of things in my life, and it's a hindrance. Help me to let go. You've won the battle. You've got it. Because he's heard that prayer. He's not going to turn his back on that. And he's going to start. Yes, it might be a bit painful. Yes, you might not like what he's going to do. But he's getting you to let go. For what purpose? So that he can take over in your life. Completely. He can take over in your confession. He can take over in your prayer life. He can take over when you read the Word of God. He can take over in everything. When you're facing temptations, you've got temptations in your life, and we all have them. The power of God starts to take over where you can say no to that. And walk away. But you haven't done it in your strength. You've done it in the strength and the power and might of all Almighty God. And that is where he gets all the glory. And that is why you can say, when people ask you, you say, that was God that did that. That was God that delivered me from alcohol, from drugs, or whatever it is we're facing. God did it. And you know God did it. Because it couldn't have been done otherwise. How does God change our mind and thinking in a situation? I don't know. But he does. Mm. That's where psychologists can't do that.
Yeah.
But he does. How can he syringe out these sins that we still go back to at times? I don't know. But he does. But he's never, ever going to force himself on you. It's there for the asking. And that's why the scriptures, that's why James says, you have not because you ask not. In other words, you ask for the wrong things. You want the blessings, and God blesses, don't get me wrong, but we get all the priorities wrong. God withholds blessings sometimes, because if he were to bless you now, you would run off and you wouldn't be bothered with him anymore. So he withholds blessings sometimes until your heart is ready to be able to receive that that gives him all the glory.
Hallelujah.
He knows. He knows us better than we know ourselves. You see? But we can ask God in faith. As I say so often, you are not in unbelief when you ask God, Lord, change me. Lord, deliver me of this problem. Help me, Father, in this area. Do a work in my heart, or whatever it would be. You're not doubting when you ask that. There's something within you believes that. Yet if we ask him to heal us, or we ask him for something that we have need of, we're battling, aren't we? Battling away. You know the problem? You haven't fully let go yet. Because when you've let go, you don't doubt. You can't doubt. You can only just believe, because the power of the Spirit is working within you to believe. It's not you trying to believe. We have our place, yes. He meets us. You see, salvation is, and the Christian walk is about covenant. And covenant means two people coming together, agreeing. That's what it means. That's why the analogy of this is in marriage. When the man and woman come together to agree and become one. And so the Christian life, the Christian message is, I am willing to agree with God's covenant. Because God has to make the first covenant. It's not in us. So it's there. And that's why it's called marriage. That is why the bride's making herself ready for marriage. That's why he's doing the work in us. Because he is to be married to his bride. Because that is what covenant is. You're in covenant with Almighty God. It's awesome. It's profound. And it means, like in any relationship, you have to let go of a lot of things if the marriage is to work. And you both have to agree in it to remove the obstacles that would try and hinder that relationship otherwise. The same as God does the same with us. So if somebody does something or hurts us or whatever it is, how do we let go? We let go by forgiving. Don't get it straight away always, but you have determined you want to forgive as God has forgiven us. And so it may take a while, but you forgive. It's letting go. You let go of these hindrances, whatever will hinder fellowship and my standing with God. That is our deliverance. He's working that even right now in our lives, this very moment. That is why I always believe, as I come to a close now, that it is so important for the saints of God to come together, because he places an anointing over a meeting that you don't get on your own. And that anointing, he comes with healing, deliverance, salvation. That is the good news of the gospel. I cannot tell you the times under a meeting I have been touched by God, and I've gone away from that meeting, I know something's happened. I've changed. I can't put my finger on it, but something has happened. And it's not just the feeling or emotion, because they can change like the wind. I know something has happened. That's the power of God, touching in the areas of our life and heart that nobody else can touch. Only God can touch you in the way that he does. No human being can touch you in that area, because that area in you spiritually is between you and God. It's private. It's private property. And nobody else will trespass in that. That is between you and God. And that's why I am such a stickler for a personal relationship that you have with God. The minister, the pastor can't give you that. He can only point you to that. But you are the one, and it comes in asking. It comes in letting go. And he will do it. See, God's very jealous over us. You start flirting with the world. You start looking for spiritual lovers out there. And he'll show you how jealous he is. Mm-hmm. He loves us.
Amen.
I thank God he is. I know sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we can have a problem with God's holiness. Why do you have to be so holy? Why do you have to be like you are? It's just, I can't live up to it. It's just too much. I've said it. And I think, no, no. He's made no mistake. I've got to let go. And that's what we're in the process. We're in the process of letting go. I could call it letting go ministries. That's a good one, isn't it? Eh? I don't think I've ever heard that one before, have you? Letting go ministries. But that is what it's about. It's letting go. And he knows these struggles we're going through. And you know, brothers and sisters, you don't have to go through these struggles on your own. You really, really don't. That is what the body of Christ is about. You know, when one suffers, we all suffer. And what a privilege that is. What a blessing that is. It's not a suffering in a tormenting way. It's a concern. It's a willingness to take on that burden and to pray it through for a brother or sister that's going through a trial or whatever it would be. That's how we're going to make it through. We're going to make it through because we intercede, we pray one for another. We care, we love one another. That is how we're going to make it through in these last days. Because so many out in that world are desperately hurting. Mm-hmm. And that is why the good news of the gospel is going out into the highways and the byways. God is meeting the desperate now in these last days. Because when you're desperate, you do desperate things. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that we believe you have exhorted us today. You have shown us clearly what you want of us. And it's simply to let go. To leave those burdens at the foot of your cross. They're too much, Lord. They're too heavy. They rob us of blessing, of your presence and walking with you. And yet, Lord, we still find that we go back to them or we hold on to them. It doesn't make sense, Lord, why we do this, but you know all things. Help us, Father. Help us to let go. Help us to lay our burden at the foot of the cross and to leave it there. You have saved each one of us for one reason, and that is that we walk in fellowship, in covenant with you. Our salvation is about a relationship. Lord, I pray that you will deliver us You will set us free. You will fill us with your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for this meeting today. Thank you, Lord, for bringing our brothers and sisters, some we haven't seen for many years. It just shows, Lord, that you're still moving and working by your Spirit. And Father, I thank you for all those that have come in the room here today online. Keep them covered by the blood of Jesus. Bless, preserve and keep each of them. Father, we thank you for this now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.